From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Santa Clara.
I'm from Fremont.
Pacifica, California.
Pleasanton.
Oh. I'm from Vallejo.
Me from Antioch.
Coming up, young people will soon be getting a free ride on Muni.
You have to decide to either, like, walk because you can't pay the fare because you're afraid of getting, like, a $150 ticket.
We'll give you a roundup of local transportation news, then move on to a nagging question in personal transportation. How do people decide what kind of gas to buy?
If they do not know much about a product, they tend to think that a higher-priced product is higher quality.
And we'll get behind the wheel of a classic Mustang.
One of the things about old school is that you have to really thoroughly warm them up.
Who we see and how we get there, that's coming up on Cross Currents. Last week, young people in San Francisco got some good news. Starting in March, they'll be able to ride Muni free of charge. That's right. After a 2-year campaign, the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency approved a 16-month pilot program that will allow low-income young people between 5 and 17 to apply for free youth passes, which they can then use to ride public transit in the city. And here to explain is KALW's Julie Kane. So how does this program work? What does a young person need to do to qualify?
Well, this is a pilot program, and it starts in March, and basically it's based on income levels. And so you have to meet some income qualifications, and the applications are going to be available in the schools, and they're also available through Muni.
And I know that this has been talked about, been negotiated over a 2-year period. There was some opposition. Why is it necessary to do this?
So basically, we don't have school buses in San Francisco. And so kids get to school either by walking, or they get a ride, or they take public transportation. And for a lot of people, right now it's $22 a month for a youth pass to ride Muni. And that might not seem like a lot of money, but for a lot of low-income families, that is actually something that they just can't afford to do.
And it can be a barrier to kids going to school then.
Absolutely. And, you know, so, you know, if you're faced with, you know, getting a ticket on Muni, or, you know, just not going to school or being late, you know, that free Muni really helps. And it's not just school. I mean, it's also getting to work and just getting around.
And did you talk to some young people about this?
I talked to a guy named Zeke Osmond. He's a senior at Independence High School in San Francisco, and he was also part of the campaign to really get it passed. So, you know, his mom is a single mom, and they're in a low-income household, and for his family, this really makes a huge difference.
You have to decide to either, like, walk because you can't pay the fare because you're afraid of getting, like, a $150 ticket and laying that on your family.
And that's Zeke Osmond, who's a senior at Independence High School. We're speaking with KALW's transportation reporter, Julie Kane.
So, you know, I mean, it's a pretty standard idea that there are breaks in fares based on how old you are.
Young like people. Seniors get a break in fare, right?
Exactly. And that's a pretty common idea. But Muni is thinking about something new. They're considering basing fares on the ability to pay, so based on income across the board, not just about age, but really about what you can afford to pay. It's not in the works yet, but both the SFMTA and also the Metropolitan Transportation Commission are doing reports where they're looking at how a program like that would work. You know, it's obviously could be kind of complicated. How would you qualify and how would you base the fares? But it's an interesting idea.
And so let's move on to the East Bay from San Francisco and talk about elections.
So I know they're supposed to be over. I mean, we voted over a month ago, but it wasn't until last week that we actually found out the fate of a ballot measure in Alameda County. It was Measure B1.
All right. So tell us about B1 and why it took so long to get these votes in particular counted.
Well, so, okay, Measure B1 was a permanent half-cent sales tax increase in Alameda County. And that would have gone to pay for a lot of transportation infrastructure, like paving the streets, like beefing up AC transit, some bike and pedestrian infrastructure things, some land use projects.
So a lot of transportation infrastructure, very necessary transportation infrastructure in the East Bay.
Very necessary. And it, because it's a sales tax increase, it was required to have a two-thirds majority to pass, two-thirds majority of the vote to pass. And it was this real cliffhanger on election night. I stayed up till 1 a.m. watching the results come in, and it just like crept up and crept up, and it's almost there and it's almost there. And it just didn't quite make it over the threshold.
And what was the final vote?
Well, they just tallied that this last week. They went ahead and asked for a recount just to make sure that they had everything correct. And it ended up that it failed to pass by 0.14% of the vote. So that's out of 350,000 or so votes cast, it failed by 700 votes.
So one person's vote does actually matter quite a bit.
Quite a bit in cases like this.
So it didn't pass by this tiny, tiny slice of the voters. So what happens now?
Well, you know, there's still a half cent sales tax that's in effect, and that goes until 2022. And in the meantime, because this measure really did have so much support, the Alameda County Transportation Commission is looking at ways to maybe lower the threshold for measures like this to need to pass, because two-thirds is a really high bar.
And so BART is also considering some new fee increases, right?
They are. It's not to ride the trains, but it's to park in the parking lots. And I don't know if people in San Francisco, this may not really mean a lot to you, but if you live in the East Bay, a lot of us tend to drive to a BART station, park our cars, and take a train into the city. I do that all the time. And at a lot of the stations that are really busy, you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that generates revenue for BART that they use to, you know, beef up BART and do repairs and improvements and stuff.
Get new seats. Oh, no, they didn't do that yet.
No, they did. They did. Some of the trains have new seats.
Oh, good.
But so they're considering raising some of those parking rates based on demand. And they're considering a plan where they would raise the rates by about 50 cents a day just based on
demand. And what does it cost right now?
It depends on where you park. Most of the stations, it's $1 a day, which is kind of a bargain.
Yeah.
Some of the stations that are much busier, like West Oakland, it's $5 a day. There are a couple that are still free. So, you know, they're thinking about, on average, raising the rate to about $1.50 a day.
And they say that that would bring in about $5 million more in revenue?
Yeah. And that's money that they're just thinking about using for, you know, future expansion of the system and just keeping it, doing the upkeep on BART.
Julie Kane is our transportation reporter. You can find her work and more stories at transportationnation.org, or you can go to klw.org. So what do you think about the free Muni passes for young people? You can let us know at our feedback line. It's 415-264-7106. Just leave us a message at 415-264-7106. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Gas costs more in California than in most other states. And this year, the average price per gallon is set to hit $4. That's the highest average ever. It seems like there's nothing drivers can do to lower their fuel costs, except maybe change what kind of grade of gasoline they buy. Most people, though, have no idea what that means for their car. KALW's Isabel Angel has our story.
I'm standing at a gas station in El Cerrito, watching people fill up their tanks. At some point, each of them presses a button, regular, mid-grade, or premium. The higher the grade, the higher the octane content. And the higher the octane content, the higher the price. At this gas station, regular is going for $3.82 per gallon. Premium, $4.05. That's 22 cents more expensive. I started asking people what kind of gas they're buying and why.
Regular gasoline. That's all this car ever takes. No need for anything else.
That's Michael Gilmore. Next, I asked Dwayne Davis.
The regular unleaded gas. Probably because it's the cheapest.
Then, Kate Foley.
Regular grade, because it's cheapest.
Susie Marcus says regular unleaded.
I guess because it's least expensive, and I have not seen any proof that buying the better gas makes you go farther or better mileage.
And Ariana Jones went for the premium.
Because that's the only brand my car takes.
So, how are they making these decisions? If it's just based on price, there's no reason to use premium. Unless the more expensive gas is actually better. So, is that true? And what is an octane anyway? For answers, I turn to Daniel Kamen, a professor at the Energy Resources Group at UC Berkeley.
Octane is essentially a measure of energy content.
Energy content. Okay, but what does that mean for my car?
You get more zip in your car by having a fuel with a higher energy content.
But before you start imagining your humble Honda Civic transforming into a fiery red Mustang, a word of warning from Kamen.
There's very little difference in everyday behavior. So if you're doing urban driving, you don't see much difference because you're not getting up to the speeds where it really matters. And on the highway, you have to have a really high-performance car to really see that difference.
So, like a BMW?
You most readily see it when you start driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris.
The latest numbers from the California Energy Commission say that 18% of gas sold is premium. But 18% of Californians probably don't own a Lamborghini. So why buy premium when you don't have to? I asked Sudhot Bhatt, who teaches marketing strategy at San Francisco State. He told me that most consumers are not experts in the things that they buy.
Even for things like toothpaste, I mean, they are not very good judges of quality. And so what I sometimes think is that a lot of consumers use price as a gauge of quality. If they do not know much about a product, they tend to think that a higher priced product is higher quality.
Bot says because most people don't know what's going on in their tank, some consumers might spring for the premium gas just because it's more expensive. But he has a solution for people who want to get the most bang for their buck. Look it up on the internet.
I think if consumers had more time and they did some research, they would know that, you know, what is really good quality and what is not. You don't have to necessarily take the manufacturer's word for it.
One of the big reasons people say they like to buy premium is to prevent engine knocking. That's when the fuel doesn't explode the right way in the engine, so that makes a knocking sound. It means you're not getting the full power out of your car, and if it keeps happening, it can actually hurt your car. But don't get too worried. For the last 15 years or so, engines have been built with sensors to prevent this exact thing from happening. So, what should you be buying? I took Sudhot Bhatt's advice and turned to the internet. What I found matched what Berkeley's Dan Kamen told me. If your car's manual says it runs on regular, there's no reason to splurge on a higher grade. And many high-performance cars will run on regular, no problem. You just might not get the maximum power possible. Now, turbocharged engines are another matter. Those really require the high-octane premium. So make sure you check with your mechanic before making the switch. That said, I'll leave the last word to NPR's favorite car guys, Click and Clack.
If it's important to you to wring out the last, you know, little bit of horsepower from your engine, then you probably want to use the premium. And if you're nuts like that, then you deserve to pay the extra 35 cents a gallon. But for most of us who are concerned about, you know, money, it's a waste to put that in your tank.
For Cross Currents, I'm Isabel Angel.
You can find a link to that story and all of our transportation reporting at our website, klw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. And now it's time for Hear Here, KALW's Community Storytelling Project.
Here?
Here?
Here.
Okay, together. Okay.
Hear Here.
A pop-up radio project from KALW.
We just heard about how some drivers try to cut down on the cost of gas by opting for a lower grade. Another way to cut down on expenses is by driving a car that gets good gas mileage. Newer cars tend to have higher productivity than their gas-guzzling predecessors, but antique cars can have a value that's not measured in dollars and cents. Sentimental value. Oakland resident Abba Owens can attest to that. She took Hear Here producer Audrey Dilling on a ride down memory lane in a special vintage car.
My name is Abba Owens, and I live in the Golf Links neighborhood nearest the zoo. We are looking at a 1966 Mustang. It is very shiny black with a double pink stripe down the side. And the tires are the original 1966 Mustang hubcaps. What's special about this car is this is my father's car. I inherited it from when he passed, and he was a great, old school car buff. He kept up with them my entire life, my sister's entire life. So I think the car is older than me. One of the things about old schools is you have to really thoroughly warm them up. My Mustang means a lot to me. It's the bridge. It's the memories of my dad. My dad really believed in work. He went to General Motors day in and day out for 36 years. No taking time off. He just really wanted to make sure his family had something. Just me now coming into my own adulthood and knowing what it means to work a job and to really focus on being able to be a role model, being able to be a nurturer. He used to say, "Daughter, you cannot take care of anyone else unless you take care of yourself. If your cup is not full, you can't fill other people's cup." This car is going from California, its original home, to Kansas, to Monroe, Georgia, and now back home to California to be with me again. So I think my dad is happy inside. I did the restoration that he wanted to do on it, and it's at home in California, Dad.
Abba Owens shared her story at the 81st Avenue East Oakland Library. And you can record your own story right now at the Hear Here website. Just visit hearhere.kalw.org to find out how. That's hearhere.kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. And now we'll visit another part of Oakland where you might have to look twice to spot the school bus. That's because it's a special kind of bus. Kids get off to climb trees and pick strawberries along the way. The drivers don't need a special license, and most importantly, it runs on sneaker feet, not wheels. On weekday mornings at about 8:10, the walking school bus goes by a grassy vacant lot in Oakland on its way to the next stop. After the pickup, the group walks, skips, and runs the half mile or so to Sequoia Elementary School. KALW's Mary Reese climbed aboard on a recent morning and brings us back this audio postcard.
Bye!
So there are bus stops along the way. We've grouped it sort of by sub-neighborhoods, if you will. These people live close to these people, so we group those families together so that it's a coherent route to school. And then, so the kids wait at the stop, the bus comes by, they get picked up, and they continue on towards the school. It's a school bus.
I like walking past like the curb where there's another school bus and we get to crash into them.
Are there many casualties, many injuries when that happens?
Not really. Because everyone runs up the hill, and it's really fun.
We're gonna crash.
Sometimes we see squirrels or cats.
Often our cat Mingo follows us, and because we don't want him to, we have to exit the school bus, get off the school bus, and walk him back home. So we don't want him walking all the way to the school with us. We're not sure that he'd be able to find his way back.
We make it to school on time. All the time, unlike when we were driving, which was somewhat hit or miss.
When I drove, I was really unhappy because I was all lonely because my brother didn't go to the same school yet.
It's really fun because you get to see all your friends in the morning because sometimes they're in a different class than you and you don't get to see them that often. And you get to laugh. Yeah. And once we saw a really chubby kitten.
We were initially worried about what we would do during rainy season, but the kids actually love to walk in the rain. More so than the parents, but they get all the garb on, and then we just try and make sure they're not totally soaked by the time they get to school.
My name is Katia Hazen. I'm the principal here at Sequoia Elementary. Parents have gotten together and mapped out routes where they can walk each other's kids to school, and just the community that that builds. The kids come to school calmer.
We kind of come out in force, in numbers, to show that, you know, we are part of the community and we're invested in it.
Nothing can stop us.
No.
I love it to love and tell my mother she is there.
You just heard from 8-year-old Naomi Hartog, 6-year-old Ava Collin, 9-year-old Samantha Mills, 9-year-old Pilar Ortega, their parents, Martin Ortega, Christine Bond, and Alex Bartlow, who preferred not to share their ages, along with their principal, Katia Hazen. That piece was produced by Mary Reese.
Open shall be five, six little angels by my side, two to sing and two to say and two to cry, my soul always.
And now we'll leave you with another edition of My Mixtape.
My name is Sandre R. Swanson, and I represent the 16th Assembly District in the California State Assembly.
I've got sunshine.
I think Temptation is My Girl. I like that song. I like the rhythm of that song, but it makes me think of my wife, makes me think of my daughter, makes me think of all the beautiful women that have been in my life, and including my beautiful mom.
What can make me feel this way, my girl?
It also helps me reflect back, because when I first heard the song, you know, I was driving down the street and I had my first car, a Chevrolet. And I'm listening to The Temptations. So it just brings back a lot of wonderful, wonderful memory, and it helps me think about the wonderful women that have been in my life.
You can add your song to our mixtape by going to kalw.org. That's also where you can hear all of our stories and subscribe to our podcast. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. Today's team includes Isabel Angel, Julie Kane, Audrey Dilling, Laura Flynn, RTM's Kunahoffs, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Erica Mu, Lisa Ratner, Seth Samuel, Ava Sonsan, Mary Reese, Stephen Short, and Judy Silber. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also, thanks to City Car Share for providing an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is online at citycarshare.org. And we want to thank the following businesses for supporting our second annual live cross currents at the Oakland Museum of California. Thanks to Belvedere Vodka, that's an award-winning luxury vodka, and the creator of the world's first cross current teeny. Thanks, Belvedere. Magnolia Pub and Brewery, which is a local San Francisco brewery in the Haight. And R&B Cellars, which is a local Alameda winery. You can taste more at the Alameda Vintners Club. Thank you all for your generous donations of libations for our live audience. You can find more information at our website. It's kalw.org. Also, thanks to you. That's right, we are listener-supported radio. If your band members were named Walter, Brent, Roland, and Raphael, what would you call the band? Why, the Rogers, of course. Although they've only been playing together in public for about a year, the Rogers, who you're hearing right now, already have an album, which was released this past summer. You can hear them live 1 week from tonight when they play the Rocket Room, which is an intimate space inside of the famous Fillmore in San Francisco. You can find more information at kalw.org. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.